Cap.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
That's why I say emergency.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why.
Shot or No Shot brought to you by our great partners at PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse in Crestwood and in Prospect Heights. The Sportsbook is now open. Check out the PointsBet app where Teddy Greenstein, one of their great heads of content, has some really cool promos and boosters for you. And then stop by one of those three locations and register your account. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Your voice is getting stronger.
Is it? I feel like it should be back already.
Yeah, what happened? I thought you were doing a thing in the meeting. I thought it was...
My Kathleen Turner impression? Is that what I'm doing here, Connor?
That's good.
I went to Tampa with Sylvie Carmen and our boys to see Tom Brady dismantle the Bears. And we legitimately, I'm not being sarcastic here, had the last row of seats in the entire building.
Tough to be heard. Tough to be heard.
And I was trying my hardest to book Tom Brady on my podcast, The Armchair Nutritionist. And it's hard to yell down, hey, Tom, will you join me to talk about the TB12 method from 1,200 feet in the air?
I thought your first loyalties are to the show that you're the executive producer of.
Cap. You said
what repurposed material.
I just want to point out that you hated Tom Brady for a long time. You said he would never win another Super Bowl. You don't root for him. Do you remember those days?
I'm
going to lose my voice to book a man for your show that you've said on the air you don't like.
No, I said I don't like the whole Patriot thing.
And you disliked him.
And
we had vehement arguments about it on this show.
I did say, no question, he's done. He won't win another Super Bowl. No doubt.
Swing and a miss.
So, Connor, you make the call. Am I wrong for not booking him for Cap?
Make the call.
You know, you gave it a shot, and I have to imagine that if you got him for the pod, you would have brought that back to the show, right?
Oh, well, man. He could have brought back the show interview on the pod.
He could have. I mean, I guess the fact of the matter is if you're sitting last row in a Bears-Bucks game, you're not getting Tom Brady for either the show or the podcast.
Correct.
But I appreciate the effort.
That
clearly
shows my clout. All right, guys, let's get to the shot or no shot portion of shot or no shot. A nagging left foot injury has been hindering Bears edge rusher Khalil Mack for most of this month. Now the Bears are assessing whether it may be in Mack and the team's best interest to shut things down for a little bit. Mack has missed 10 of 13 practices while participating on a limited basis just three times this month. A roster move would keep Mack out of action until at least Thanksgiving. Gentlemen, I ask you, shot or no shot, putting Khalil Mack on the IR would be the best move for your Chicago Bears.
I don't have his medical records, and I don't have my MD degree. My brother has that in the family. He was the student. I wasn't.
Weird flex, but okay.
Yeah. If he's seriously injured, and this guy, by all accounts, is a warrior,
yeah.
Yes, it would be the best thing, so you could try and make a push the last six games or seven games of the season.
Are we doing that? Are we thinking about a push?
I'm not saying they can make one.
Okay.
That's how they believe.
Yeah, sure. My lens on the Bears is now only about what is the best thing for Justin Fields moving forward.
But the other 50 guys outside that quarterback room, they don't want to hear that.
I don't care. I'm not interested. The only thing that I feel that matters, like as a Bears, somebody who watches this team and, you know, has a little bit of a different job now, the only thing I care about is whether Justin Fields gets better at playing football. And I think he will.
But just understand, if that was your mentality and you were the head coach, again, I'm not saying I agree or disagree. I'm simply putting the topic out here. You can't ask, hey, Akeem, can we shoot you up a Toradol so you can play? Hey, Khalil. Is there any way you can get on the field, man? We'll shoot that foot up. Coach, all you care about is did your quarterback develop? No, I'm not going to lay my life out there. Now, if you're telling me we're trying to win, I'm all in to help you do that.
Well, see, here's the thing.
That's how guys think.
I think if you put Khalil Mack on the IR, teams score faster against the Bears, and that means Justin Fields is out there for more plays. So I think it actually might be the best move for Justin Fields to develop.
Yeah, exactly. Danny.
Gentlemen, your Chicago Bulls open the season with four straight wins for the first time since 1996-1997. That 96-97 team won 12 straight games. Now, I don't think any of us are foolish to believe that this Bulls team will win 12 straight, but I'll ask you, shot or no shot, this team can make it 50% of that and win their first six straight, which means beating the Knicks tonight and beating Utah on Saturday.
Wow. That run that they have coming the next 12 games is brutal. Brutal. Can they win the next two? Like, I'm that guy that just take them one game at a time. Let's worry about tonight. I believe if they come out of these next two games 1-1, that's really good. I think Utah can win the title. I think the Knicks are a really good team. So, can they? Certainly they can. They're a good team, the Bulls. It's going to be really tough.
I didn't like that whole fourth quarter against the Raptors.
No, but you're going to have those ups
and downs. Of course you're going to have them. And you should go through them as the team where they are. Of course. But there's a likelihood that you're going to have one or more of those against the Knicks or the Jazz. So I'm going to say, I guess I'll say no shot. They don't win both of the next two. This is four in a row. This is the first time Zach has ever won four games in a row in his NBA career. That's wild to me.
Crazy.
I mean, four is not that long a streak.
It's not.
You think about the teams he's been on, though, it might as well have been 12.
Team and a bad Bulls team. Danny.
Gentlemen, let's talk some baseball. I know, shot or no shot, Connor expected to break down the White Sox offseason moves
today.
Really did. I know that was his plan, but we're going to talk a little Cubs, guys, because I'm a Cubs fan. The Cubs are hard at work rebuilding the organization. They have two major hires in the last week alone. They hired Carter Hawkins as the general manager, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ashaun Bakari is his number two.
Mm-hmm.
At the top of their to-do list is addressing Wilson Contreras' future. Do they commit to Contreras heading into his age 30 season? Is he willing to take a discount to stay in Chicago? Is he the guy they want to build around for the next wave, or do they want to move him? So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, if the Cubs cannot sign Wilson Contreras to an extension this offseason, he will be traded by report to training camp.
That's a shot. Teams are always looking for starting level star catchers. This guy's a warrior. They wore him down by playing him too much, and he was on a bulky knee. You got to get him signed. And if not, it's incompetence if you don't move him. You let him get to free agency and just walk out the door. They waited too long to trade the other guys because Theo was so hell-bent on hanging on to them and trying to win in 17, 18, 19, and then you got to 20, and it's a pandemic.
I think Contreras was on the block this past trade deadline.
I don't think he was.
I think he was down the list of priorities. The thing of it is, you had to move the guys you had to move because mm-hmm. they had ticking clocks.
Yeah, I don't think they would have traded Wilson.
I think if they'd have gotten the right deal.
Well, what is the right deal? Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani for him?
Seems
aggressive.
I would trade that. Maybe they could kick in somebody else, the Yankees,
Rendon.
A prospect, something like that.
Yeah, Rendon, and they eat the money.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds good to me. But I think you've got to trade Wilson Contreras.
And no, you sign him to an extension.
I think you've got to trade Wilson Contreras. I mean, you trust that they're going to put the rest of the money into building a contender while Wilson Contreras is less than 33 as a catcher? Is that going to happen fast enough?
He's 29 right now.
He's 29 now. He'll turn 30 start of the season.
You ever seen Yadier Molina?
Yeah, absolutely.
40?
Is he hit?
Yadier Molina is going on the first ballot in the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
He is one of the leaders of your clubhouse.
Yeah.
Wilson is that guy.
You tell me where you're finding a catcher like that. Catchers that play defense and don't hit.
Wilson Contreras hits.
I'm not saying he can't, but he's streaky. He always got a little ups and downs.
Because he got overused.
I think you can find more from Wilson Contreras by trading him than you can by keeping him.
No chance.
I don't think the rest of the team's going to be put around him fast enough. I think that's a tough ask.
When they have Trevor Story at shortstop and they go at a bunch
Trevor
of pitching.
Trevor Story away from Coors Field.
He also had to play in L.A., San Diego, and San Francisco.
And
tough places to hit.
And look at the splits.
Yeah, and then drop him into Milwaukee, St. Louis, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Wrigley.
Milwaukee,
you're
going to face all that pitching. You got to face the sturdy John Lester in St. Louis.
So just
now.
What do you do? Tuck tail and run?
No.
We're done.
No, you have to keep doing what you've been doing.
You sign Wilson Contreras to a 5-year extension.
He's not going to be playing by the time Pete Crow Armstrong gets to the bigs.
Is he?
Is he?
He's 29. What do you think he is, 80?
Catchers, man. Catchers.
Then you move him to a different position. He can hit.
Oh, well, now that's a different conversation.
Correct.
And the DH
is coming. So, yeah, totally disagree with you.
I hear you. I'd move him.
Danny.
Gentlemen, do you mind if I use shot or no shot for a little marriage counseling?
Bring it on.
Fit it in where you get it.
All right, gentlemen, I could use your help. So my neighborhood is having a Halloween party this Saturday evening. I was under the impression that it was kids only in costumes. Yesterday, as I was doing some work at home on the computer, I discovered that my wife was ordering herself a costume. At dinner, when I mentioned to her, "Sweetheart, are you wearing a costume Saturday?" Because I was not. She acted as if her ordering herself a costume was no big deal. And the fact that our Zetterman party of five was going to show up to the party, four of us dressed in costume and one of us not, was me having the problem and not her. Gentlemen, I ask you, shot or no shot, did my wife owe me a heads up on the fact she was going to wear a costume and I was not?
This is easy. Your wife is so out of bounds and wrong here. Now, if you said, "Hey, thanks, Diana, for the heads up, I'm not wearing a costume," that should not preclude her and the kids from wearing costumes. But the fact that she kind of kicked you to the side of the road and went, "Kids, let's figure out our costume. What does Dad wear?" I have no idea. I haven't even told him. Diana Zetterman, you are in the penalty box. That's an awful decision.
While that may be true, let's look at the end results. Now he knows. Danny, you know now that you got four in costume and one out. You better get yourself a costume, man.
Now I have to find a costume. But the thing is, had I not, when I signed onto the computer, had she not left the page open where she ordered her costume, it would have been Saturday evening.
Yeah, like 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. My kids would have been costumed up. She would have come downstairs in her costume. And here I would have been in my daily uniform of an Under Armour shirt and blue jeans, ready to go to the party. And I would have been the family dud.
Hold on. This is this requires some follow-ups here. What is said costume that Diana ordered?
I don't know exactly what it is. It's like this black shirt with black angel's wings.
Oh. So sexy angel?
Okay. My wife only wears black. So like she would not wear this in red. She would not wear this in white. She found a black sparkly shirt with black angels.
Sparkly and angel. Angel.
Let me add one more thing, Connor, before you get into it. So when I asked her at the dinner table, very calmly, "Sweetheart, are you planning to wear a costume? Because I'm unaware of the costume situation." And she said, "What's the big deal?" Like, I was wrong for even asking. Then she suggested I wear costumes that we wore before we had kids and we were a little bit more provocative. For instance, she suggested that I go to the party as Hugh Hefner. That a kid's party as Hugh Hefner.
Who are you? I'm the Playboy porn magnate.
This is asinine. You just need a Packers Aaron Rodgers jersey and you're set, dude.
I thought of that, but I will not buy a Packers Aaron Rodgers jersey. I will not spend my money
on it. Our guy Dino at Dino's Fan Shop in the Sports Fan Shop in the Glen. Dino's the greatest. He'll get you an Aaron Rodgers jersey.
Yeah, make up one real quick.
If he wants to lend it to me, done deal. I will not pay for an Aaron Rodgers jersey. I love Aaron Rodgers. My money is not going to
the Packers. This is where you gotta get creative. Like, wear a suit like you're Aaron Rodgers hosting Jeopardy.
Yeah, you could do that kind of thing. You do like a suit and be John Wick or something. You got the long hair going on. The key here is that you pick a very easy and inexpensive Halloween costume, so you're in dress, but you didn't go out of your way.
What if he could get you an Astros jersey that says Baker Jr.? You could go as Dusty.
And then I could put puke all over it because I threw up on myself.
Oh, my God.
I think you get some ripped jeans. Yeah, you take out a white T-shirt, tie-dye that up, a handful of gummies, and you're a hippie. That is your costume for Saturday nights.
A handful? That's a lot of
money. Or you just do a little swap thing for the night, let JR go with your family, and he is a hippie.
We've already established JR's specialty with our previous...
Is JR around a lot around young kids?
No, he's not allowed.
He's allowed.
Guys, let's not make this about my costume. Let's make this about my wife and her lack of communication.
Yeah, your wife.
And the fact she hung me out to dry.
I've already told you. Your wife absolutely
right
was awful. Horrible
decision.
We're
all aware of where Danny would like to place the blame here, but let's face facts. Get yourself a costume. Otherwise, it's just going to be a world of hurt for you.
Sidebar, may I approach?
Of course.
Brought to you by Ankin Law. Howard Ankin, the best. 3126 million. So I get a text last night. We do the football after show. Bears play the 49ers. I get a text from Olin Krutz, Alex Brown, Lance Briggs. Hey, dude, we're all going in costume for the show.
Okay.
I'm not a Halloween guy. I wasn't a Halloween guy growing up.
Me neither.
I don't get it.
Masks weird me out.
I don't like anything about the holiday.
Hard pass.
My mom would give my brother and I money to not trick or treat. She said,
Wait. Your mother gave you and your brother money to not trick or treat.
Correct.
Why? How much money? And what?
Well, we were little kids then, so we would go to Kelly's Drive-In. She'd give us a dollar, and I remember I could get a cheeseburger, fries, a Coke, and have, like, 30 cents left for three games of pinball.
But it wasn't like, okay, so it wasn't like, hey, little man here, you're going to, here's some money, don't trick or treat.
My mom's
I buy you all the candy you want. Well, here's some money to
There's
go.
There's always candy in the house. Going to strangers and taking candy, that's stupid.
That is, your mom subsidized not going to Halloween.
Right.
That is amazing.
Or we would take the candy and then we would donate the candy to whatever, you know.
You fish through the candy, though, and take the good ones and then donate the ones that were just like the clear wax wrapper. You know, like the weird orange and black kind of wrapped. Those are always
the
terrible.
Candy corn, all that nasty stuff.
Hot garbage.
It's horrible. So, there you go. So, I guess I'm being asked to dress up for the football after show.
Yeah, you got to dress up. You do it. You got to dress up.
No shot. Matt Nagy, you see what his costume is?
The Invisible Man.
He's going as a football coach. You make the call. Should Zetterman's wife have given him the heads up? She was getting a costume. You make the call. 312-332-3776.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie. Bow, bow,
bow, bow. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
IBM presents You Make the Call.
With Connor McKnight, who's in for Hoodie. He's on vacay. Enjoy it, my man. I'm David Kaplan, Danny Zetterman, Jeff Miller, J.R. Strauss. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. The question is, you make the call. Should Zetterman's wife have given him the heads up that she and the kids, they have three kids, were going to be all costumed up for the neighborhood Halloween party Saturday night? She ordered one for herself. The kids are all set up, sat down to dinner, and Danny found out everyone's got costumes except Danny, and he was never even told that he needed a costume. And Danny became the... It was like Larry... I watched the first episode of Curb. Did you see it?
No, the new one?
Yeah.
New one? No, I haven't watched it yet.
It's phenomenal.
Get ready for Cap to spoil it for you.
Go ahead, Cap. Hey, let me tell you how Squid Game it. No, I wouldn't do that. But Danny sounds like Larry David. Like, in that episode, something happens where Larry's in the right.
He's left out.
And, of course, he becomes the villain. And that's what it sounds like for Danny.
Are the kids in matching costumes? Like, is this a whole... you guys aren't, like, going as the Sound of Music, like the Von Trapps or anything, and you're the guy not dressed up, right?
We've done that before. We went as the Incredibles a couple years ago, and we were
fantastic.
All Incredibles.
Well done.
This year, the boys are matching. My daughter is not. She's on her own. Of course, she's 5. She wants to be a princess. So I guess my wife with these like black like angel's wings could kind of match my daughter. And then the boys match. And then there's Danny dressed like he is going to work.
Wow. All right. Let's go to Johnny in Bourbonnais. Hey, Johnny, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, not much. I stayed for bonus because I grew up here. They didn't change the pronunciation until the 70s. So, the French pronunciation doesn't work for me. But anyway, Danny's wife, she's wrong. She needs to include him in her plans. I mean, come on. Going to the party together. Hello?
You got it.
All right. Yeah, I mean, come on. I've been married for 18 years. Mm-hmm. If my wife didn't include me in the plans, then why am I going?
Well said. Appreciate the call, Johnny. Come on.
I mean, the end of the day. Also, they didn't change the pronunciation of Bourbonnais until the 70s. Do we know that?
I have no idea.
I've never heard of that. You and I, we've been to Bourbonnais.
Yeah.
Never heard that story told.
Me either.
Not
Bourbonnais to me.
I want to know if this guy's just been walking around Bourbonnais his entire life, and everyone's like, that's that guy. Calls it Bourbonnais.
Exactly. Let's go to Jimmy G in Park Ridge. Hey, Jimmy, what's up?
Morning. So, first off, yeah, Danny, you were blindsided. At least a heads up of, hey, I'm getting dressed up. You don't need to. That'd be okay. But if you truly would wear an Aaron Rodgers jersey and don't want to buy one, I can certainly lend you one.
Danny, he will lend you an Aaron Rodgers costume.
That is very friendly. I do appreciate that, Jimmy G. Put him on hold. I'll get his info.
All right. Hang on, Jimmy G. You know what we have out in front of us?
I actually don't.
Somebody dressed as the head guy in Squid Game.
Can I come clean about something?
You've never watched
it. I haven't seen it.
You're so lame.
Haven't seen it. Fiance watched it. She watched, oh, I mean, it was like a binge. It was over before she even started. That's mm-hmm. how quickly she went through the whole series.
Nine episodes. It's awesome. It's bizarre. It's insane. It's awesome.
I don't think I'm going to end up watching it. I think this is one of those shows where the whole world saw it before I even had a chance. You know, it was playoff time. I was busy with White Sox stuff. I never had a chance. I don't think I'm going back on it.
See, now I'm through six. I actually finished episode six last night. And it's funny because I watched it. I started like at the end of September and I clued all these guys in on it and said, hey, have you guys checked this out? I've watched the first episode. I can't stop watching it. I wouldn't call it awesome, Cap. I think it's compelling and hard to not continue to watch it through. Mm-hmm. But I'm through six episodes and I'm not going down the awesome road.
Okay. Are you guys watching it dubbed or with the subtitles?
I'm watching it dubbed.
It's dubbed. Okay.
Yeah.
And subtitles?
No. So here's the thing. I went, because I started it late at night, Connor, I went with the dub. And that's the most infuriating part. It is an off. They gave no thought whatsoever to the voice actors who went in and gave you the English translation,
right?
Because they don't give a damn. It is awful, and that's probably what is making it worse for
right.
me.
It's in Korea.
Yeah, it's yes.
But it sounds like some guy who lives two blocks from Guaranteed Rate Field.
But the act, first of all,
that head squid guy, I don't know about him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a little weird to watch. Yeah, I think you got to watch it subtitled, right? I mean, my fiance was watching it dubbed, and I couldn't
like
get
subtitle.
Into it. You got to watch it subtitled.
No, I really, really enjoy it.
The problem
first
is it's not that good.
I was like, whoa.
It's not that good. It's not worth, like, it's a better, I'm telling you, it's a better, like, 10 p.m. right before I go to bed show. It's not worth having to do
10 p.m., right? But it's like the whole thing is death and mass murder, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a
way to rule the end.
Rock yourself to sleep tonight, Jeff?
Spoiler alert.
Hold on. Are you telling me that, like, horror movies or flicks or whatever are better consumed in the daytime?
Oh, no, I don't. Yeah, I don't watch horror movies at all.
Yeah, that's a nighttime. You need the ambiance of being dark outside. Squid Game guy just
popped into the studio. Squid Game guy let himself into the building.
This is unfortunate. What is happening? why is that mask in here?
There is the
cool
Squid Game.
You can see him on Twitch
masker.
Right now. Check us out. Follow us on Twitch. You can
weird.
See
there.
You can see Connor have no idea what's going on right now.
Mm-mm, no clue whatsoever.
Why do I see white beard sticking out underneath?
He's masked up though, so that's nice.
Go back here again.
Unbelievable. Anyway,
just stayed on the break.
Let's get. Nope, he hung up. Yeah, I don't want to play your Squid Game.
Could you win Squid Game, Cap?
No shot.
You don't think you could win Squid Game?
I won't ruin it. There's a bunch of different games. It's not just one game.
Yeah, there's six games in the nine episodes.
I watched like the first like 10 minutes where the kid's like going through his whole life and they're drawing out the whole Squid Game on the ground. So I figured that was it. They're just playing that game the entire time. They're not doing that.
No.
You're not selling this show to me.
You have
I don't know.
No idea what you're in for.
Yeah, I don't know.
I will say this. I loved. I'm exactly with Meller. Six episodes in, the first like four I loved. Then like 5 and 6, I was like, eh, it's good. I'm okay.
LeBron was upset by the ending.
I don't ruin it for us.
I don't know what it was or not. He said he was upset by the ending. So I'm like, if LeBron's not into how the whole thing ended, I don't know if I'm going to get into it.
I did not enjoy the ending either.
More importantly, did Michael Jordan like the ending? That's whose opinion matters.
He took it personally, the ending, regardless of what it was.
Everybody in Chicago knows that Michael Jordan's opinion of Squid Game is better than LeBron's opinion of Squid Game.
And make sure you watch the first episode of Curb. It's sensational.
Is he still on HBO? Curb is still on?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Sunday was the first episode of this new season, and Lucy Liu, not ruining anything, plays his girlfriend. Boy, I tell you, that Lucy Liu aged well.
Wow. She's in her 50s. Unbelievable. But, yeah, it's awesome. I highly recommend you take this afternoon or tonight or this week and watch episode 1 of Curb.
I should watch that before I go through Squid Game?
Yes.
All right.
Real quick, Connor. Would you define Larry David in great shape?
He's 72 years old.
Larry David's 72?
Yep. Exactly. Yesterday I said he was in great shape for a 72-year-old man.
As in great shape.
And they all crapped on me.
Well, here's the same guy said Tony Finau is fat.
Tony Finau has some fat around his midsection. He's got dad bod. I'll argue that to the death.
You can be skinny fat.
Thank you, Connor.
At 6'3", 165, I know a little bit about looking okay, but also being horrendously and embarrassingly out of shape. So it's possible that Larry David at 72 has got a...
But would you classify him as in great shape?
No, I would classify him as looking good for 72,
exactly.
but that's really different.
But my point is, when you watch the show, right, the way he moves around, he's spry, he's active, he's quick. At no point do you look at him like, boy, that's a 72-year-old man. The fact that your mind was blown when I said he was 72 proves that he is in great shape for 72.
But it's television. Like, the take they put in the show, he did well. The other ones, he might have fallen over or fallen asleep or something.
Edit that. I thought it was just
the stream of consciousness.
That was just it.
All right, we've got our guy Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune and ESPN 1000. He will join us to talk Bears football next.
Cap J Hood.
Follow him on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So we don't know where Matt Nagy is hiding out. He wouldn't say. I'm not going to say. But he's hiding out somewhere as he goes through the COVID-19 protocol, and he is fully vaccinated. Bears aren't at 100%, but they're in the 95 percentile range. Anyway, we're seeing the Blackhawks affected by it. Kane's not back yet. We saw Robert Quinn and Damian Williams and... Of course, Matt Nagy's there. Dan Wiederer is all over the Bears beat, and he joins us next. Dan, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I can't tell you where I'm at, but I'm doing great.
Yeah, great.
I got a great setup here. It's a beautiful setup.
That's what Matt had to say. So I said that Halloween Sunday, will he be going as a football coach? But
Don't know yet.
So we don't know if he's going to be back. Justin Fields said yesterday, I feel we're ready for a breakout. I feel it coming. What gives you? I think Pat Finley said, why do you think that?
I don't know.
Oh, is that you who asked that one?
Yeah. What possible indications are there that this offense is ready to break out?
I don't know, he said, right?
No, he said, just feel it. I just feel it.
Yeah. So do you see like a silver line? Like, hey, man, they're actually getting closer?
I mean, they just lost 38-3 and turned the ball over 5 times. I know it was against a good defense, missing some key playmakers, and I know that they will have a drop down in competition this weekend against the 49ers, but the 49ers defense is still pretty solid. We've watched this offense for 4 seasons. Really, the last 3 have been miserable. I don't know how anyone in their right mind could forecast a significant breakthrough after what we've watched for so long.
Well, so Dan, you know, watching this team and watching Justin as best they can, especially with the Sox in the playoffs for that hot little minute there, it's becoming difficult for me now to identify the growing pains of Justin Fields and then the system issues that already exist in this offense. Are you able to split the difference between the two and see one against the other and make a measured approach of where Justin is right now, or is that becoming blurred for you as well?
So, Connor, it's a fabulous question, and it's very blurry, and it's a blurry question that now has to be answered by the people up the food chain at Halas Hall, right? Most notably, George McCaskey and Ted Phillips. You've got 10 more games to put together the pie chart on the question you just asked, right? Is Justin Fields and the passing attack struggling because it's their fault? Is it struggling because it's the game plan's fault? Is it the scheme's fault? There's a pie chart here that means everything to the future of this organization. And you've got George and Ted trying to put that together at the top of the food chain. I'm not sure very many people in the city have confidence that they're going to be able to take a sophisticated lens to that question and be able to answer it in a clear way. We've got to watch this unfold in the coming weeks, and we've got to see Justin Fields' growth. And if Justin makes notable growth, we have to ask the same questions, right? We have to say how much of his big steps forward are a result of him being a very talented quarterback with a high football attitude and tremendous work ethic, and how much of his growth is based on what the coaching staff is doing to bring him along. It's complicated. It means everything to the future of this organization, and you can understand why in this city there's such a dramatic amount of anxiety about that question.
So, Dan, as you look at this team, I can't see a scenario that Matt's here next year. I'm not expecting a change in season. Let's assume that Matt isn't here next year. Do you think George and Ted are truly capable of finally orchestrating a search where it's not just the two of them and finding the right leader? It doesn't have to be, like, I push back on the narrative, whoever replaces Matt, you got to get an offensive guy to work with Justin. No, the best coaches in the league, a lot of them were defensive guys. John Harbaugh was a special teams guy. Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, Mike Tomlin, and I can keep going, were defensive coaches. Sean McDermott now in Buffalo is a great offense. He was a defensive coordinator. Mm. Just get the right leader of 53 men. Where are you on that whole concept?
Well, you asked two questions there, and the first one is, what is the level of confidence that George and Ted can get it right? Again, what is their track record that leads you to believe that they are going to get it right? And what are resources are they using to point themselves in the right direction? We haven't hit Halloween yet, and we're already talking about the idea that Matt Nagy is not going to be here next year. If Matt Nagy is not going to be here next year, Ryan Pace isn't going to be here next year, because I don't know how you can let Ryan fire another coach and go down that path again. So we haven't hit Halloween yet, and we're talking about blowing something up that everyone wanted blown up last January, and the organization told you, trust us, they got it. They're going to collaborate. They're going to get this thing in order. The people don't point fingers when they lose six games in a row. This is the culture. This is great. Quarterback situation, we'll figure that out later. The wins, we'll get that at some other time. But we got everything else here in place. So, no, there's no confidence that there's going to be a search put in place that leads you to believe when they introduce somebody else at Halas Hall that it's going to be the absolute right guy. To your second point, I'm cool with the idea of not putting yourself in a box and making sure that you go out and try to figure out who are the leaders in this league that can take your franchise to the next level. Now, you want to have somebody that's able to put together a staff, at the very least, that can take your young, talented quarterback and take him to the next level. You talk about Sean McDermott in Buffalo. He's got a guy in Brian Daboll who has been an absolute godsend to Josh Allen's career. And you see the escalator that Josh Allen has taken towards stardom in this league. And so if you're going to go with a defensive guy, you better make sure that he's got connections and resources to give himself a staff that allows Justin to become the player you think he's going to be. But I'm cool if that guy has coached special teams his whole life, if he's coached defense his whole life, whatever that may be.
So, Dan, there may not be a good answer to this question, but I feel like it's got to be asked. One of the things that Matt Nagy probably said in the interviews when he was coming over to coach the Bears in the first place was, yes, I can win with Mitch Trubisky, right? And I think everybody probably had to say that in those interviews, or at least to some degree had to express their belief in being able to coach the guy. You're still going to be in that same situation with Justin Fields. And I think Justin Fields can play, and I would put my chips on him being the quarterback of the future here. But do you see that as an impediment to finding the right infrastructure around Justin, in that the Bears are going to have to say, it's win with Justin or else?
No, I mean, I think Justin Fields brings a high level of traits to the table that a lot of coaches in this league would love to get their hands on. You got to remember that anyone applying for head coaching jobs in the NFL is supremely self-confident, and they believe they can do great things, right? And then you get the chance to pair up with a first-round quarterback with this level of athleticism, this level of arm talent, this level of drive, this level of proven track record in college of being able to lead a program, right, and be a galvanizing leader. And there's going to be people absolutely signing up for that way more than they're going to be saying, let's steer away from that. Now, you have to have some of these assurances that, hey, if this doesn't work with the guy that I didn't hand select, will you give me an opportunity to go find another guy? Those discussions are kind of had in a veiled way, right? You just kind of feel it out. You never address it directly and say, I don't know that we're going to succeed with this guy, but you want to make sure that you've got yourself a safety net if you're a coach taking that on. I think it's going to be an attractive job for the reason that you mentioned, that Justin is in place as a quarterback, and that gives you a starting point to see what you can do with things.
Dan, as you look at the offensive line, you know, Olin Kreutz had a great line on our Sunday TV post game where he said, boy, people are shocked how Cleveland overwhelmed the offensive line. He goes, well, let's see, Myles Garrett makes $130 million. He's like 23 years old. You're blocking him with a guy who's almost 40, came off a fishing boat that makes $1.5 million. And quoting Olin, I'm shocked, you're shocked, not meaning you. People are shocked that that didn't work. He goes, go to the other side. Jermaine Ifedi, washed out in Seattle. He's a very meh play. He's all right. I'm shocked, you're shocked that Jadeveon Clowney, the number one pick overall a few years ago, was made life tough on him. Getting Larry Borum back, he's at practice now. And Tevin Jenkins, according to Jason Peters, is around the corner. How much better can the offensive line get this season?
My definition of around the corner is a little bit different than Jason's. Tevin had back surgery in August. He hasn't had a full practice with the team since June. It's going to be a long time before he's ready to play in a regular season game. I'm, you know, saying December at the earliest, right? So you're going to have to be measured with your expectations for how a rookie offensive tackle is able to grow and succeed in a very small sample size at the end of a year in which he had back surgery, if he's even able to play at all. You want to get Larry Borum back as quick as possible. I'm not sure they're going to be able to get him ready for Sunday. If it's not this Sunday, then you got a Monday nighter against Pittsburgh followed by a bye week, and you want to see what you have in this kid. Since the spring, all the coaches on the staff have been very encouraged with the way that Larry plays that tackle position. He can play over on the left side. He can play over on the right side. He gives you some versatility there. This is important, right, to bring along guys that you've drafted and try to address needs that you have right now on your offensive line. They haven't invested in the offensive line enough in the time that I've covered the team, which is 9 years, and you see the results of that. But they've got to find ways with what they've got now to answer some questions within the 2021 season so you don't go into 2022 trying to rebuild every single part of your offense.
Dan, have a great day, man. Hope you're well.
All right, fellas. Be good.
See you, Dan. Too. Dan Wiederer, Chicago Tribune and ESPN 1000. Two great games. You only have one TV. What are you watching tonight? Next.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
So, two great games tonight. Bulls, Knicks, Packers, Arizona, undefeated Cardinals. Undefeated Arizona Cardinals.
Wild to think about, but yeah, they're there.
If they can be undefeated 7-0, you're telling me that we can't find a way to get this dead-ass franchise turned around?
Well, just draft a quarterback that works, which I think they did. And then get an offensive system into place. Remember how much crap he got as a head coach when he came into this league?
Well, he took he got fired at Texas Tech.
Yeah, Texas Tech.
He took the OC job at USC.
For a hot minute.
For like 3 weeks.
Maybe.
Got a call, hey, you want to be the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals? Excuse me? I just got fired as a college coach.
Squeeze
I'm a college assistant
baking
now.
Soda?
We like your style. We're going to draft Kyler Murray, and we want you to be the guy to guide him.
Well, he wanted Kyler Murray, right? It was like, hey, you're interested. Let's make sure we get Kyler Murray.
Right.
It was like a double down on Kyler.
So Cliff Kingsbury comes in there. They get rid of – they had drafted Josh Rosen-Miller, what, two years earlier or one?
Oh, it was the year.
Year before.
The previous season.
Year before.
They draft a guy number 10 overall.
Yeah.
After 1 year, they go, he sucks. Get him out of here. Gone. That's what I'm not calling them a great team, but the key to being successful is knowing your personnel. And if you made a mistake, well, I've used this analogy. Okay, they come down here and they buy really expensive, top of the line, spend $100,000 on new microphones.
Hey, look at this.
What did he say? I can't hear him.
Stop doing that.
Well, you don't go, well, we just spent $100,000 on those mics. They obviously don't work. Now keep using them because it's money we spent. No, it's a sunk cost. You blew the pick. You move on. And that's what they did.
Well, here's the other thing, too. What Cliff did is he brought that system in. He's running four wide all the time for like six straight weeks. And then he realized, well, this doesn't work in the NFL. I'm not getting the results I actually wanted to get. So he changed the system.
Correct.
He altered the thing that made him an offensive guru in college football. He changed the very thing that made him in the eyes of NFL talent evaluators and adapted it to, you know, the NFL.
Correct.
We've seen much, if any of that, from Matt Nagy's offensive system.
Kicking and screaming, he's agreed to run the football.
And that helps. Because, you know, in the NFL these days, the prime evaluator of whether you score points is putting up 100 yards.
Like, I heard a great story that when they handed the play sheet off to Laser, what was the first game? Was it Detroit or was it the Raiders? I think it was Detroit.
It was Detroit, right?
It was after Cleveland, Detroit.
Yeah. And the night before, on Saturday.
And handing the play sheet over took about an hour and a half, by the way.
Correct.
It's a lot of documents.
I'm going to send you a Word document. It's not going to be able to be email because it's too big.
It's going
to
be in six parts.
I've got a Dropbox where you can get it.
Plus, at bears.com only lets you upload files of like, it's small. We got a bad email system.
Correct. So I was told by somebody who'd know that Matt's sitting in the room, Laser's up there talking. All right, guys, here's the first 15 plays we're going to run tomorrow.
Sure.
Play one was we're coming out in like goal line offense. Like nine guys are in.
Like,
and he's like, wait a minute.
What does that help?
We're going to do what? Yes. We're going to protect our young quarterback. We're going to run the football out of that formation. Matt's like, I don't like it. They're like, well, it's my play sheet. Now we're running it. And David Montgomery ripped off 9 yards on play one.
But it's like, you're not going to go back to that again. Like, think about the changes that Bill Lazor needed to see from this offense in order to go, you know what it is? Goal line from the 25. Think about how bad things have been.
But then they took it right down the field doing a lot of that.
Right. But results, process over results. The fact that you're now in a situation where you've handed it off to what could be a seemingly competent offensive coordinator. Not good, just like a guy who kind of gets it. Mm-hmm. We need to not kill the quarterback. So, from the 25,
we're going to have nine Lions, guys in blocking.
Against the Lions, we've got to run nine protect.
And it worked.
Come on.
So, that is what we're dealing with. So, are you going to watch Bulls tonight or Bears?
Packers-Cardinals. I'm playing the role of sports talk radio host tomorrow morning, so I got to watch both of them. Right?
Danny, what are you watching?
One on the computer and one on the TV.
Danny?
I am going to watch football. I don't even know if I will turn the Bulls game on, just being bluntly honest with you, boys. It's game five of the NBA season. It's hard for me to get motivated by a game five.
I couldn't disagree with you more.
This football game, Packers, Cardinals, this means something.
That Devontae Adams, they play run like three tight ends out wide. They've got all their wide receivers are hurt.
They're honoring Noah. Rose and Tibbs returning.
They're not honoring Noah during the game. They're playing basketball during the game. They're honoring Noah.
Yeah.
I'll watch that on Twitter.
Tibbs and Derrick Rose against the Bulls, who are 4-0.
Tibbs is suiting up?
Starting at power forward.
The question is, you getting into the Noah mindset to watch the Joakim Noah celebration?
That's it.
Are you going to ease into that?
Edibles, or are you smoking?
Well, whatever you need.
Will he be high when he gets honored is another question. Whoa, sorry about that.
Oh, that's a fine.
That's a fine. Dollar to Bernie's book bank. Anyway, Mellor, real fast because we got a break. What are you watching? Yeah.
Come on, football, man. Don't even, please.
Okay. I can't watch either because I've got something tonight, but...
Oh, yeah, you got a thing?
I got a thing.
Well, what's the thing? What do you got? Can you tell us?
No, I got an event I have to go to.
All right, we're going to get you in the 9 o'clock
hour. The World Series is tied 1-1, and Dusty Baker, according to Danny, is cashing an old check. All I know is he's 3 wins from a World Series. Danny may quit the job or move to Australia if he does, because I'll haunt him. That's in 2 minutes.